Blog Talk Radio.
Kingdom Church of the Firstborn. This is Pernell Hewing coming to you from Whitewater, Wisconsin. I'm hoping that you don't, you hear that song, that opening over and over, and sometimes we hear the same thing. We kind of take it for granted, or we tune it out, or we really just kind of let it stay there without giving any thought to it. But I want us to give thought to the words of Dr. Derek David Kuhn. We use that as an opening because we believe it opens the atmosphere for us, and I believe it opens up a place where God can come to us. He sings, "Behold your God. Let God arise and let his enemies be scattered." You know what I would hope? That during the daytime when you're walking back and forth, and sometimes when you're so busy you may not have a time to just open your mouth and praise God, and because you're involved in something in your heart you can say, "Let God arise, let his enemies be scattered." And sometime when you're driving along and you can just say, "Let God arise and let his enemies be scattered," and behold your God. And you, as you behold your God, you know, when you behold him, you start thinking about this God we serve, this great God, how awesome he is, and the blessings of that he brought to the earth when he came to the earth and gave up his life and went to the cross and died for us. And as you start thinking about the wonderful things that God has done, and I think we're at a season where as we behold our God, we behold him more than for what he's done for us in the natural. Certainly, we can thank him and behold the God that we serve, who has given us health, who's given us strength, who has blessed our families, who's blessed our jobs. You know, we can behold him and thank him for that. He wants to be worshipped and he wants to be thanked. But when we behold God for who he is and what he did, and what he prepared for us and what he has for us, eyes have not seen, ear heard, the blessings that await us. And it's all because of the blood of Jesus. It's all because of his death and resurrection on the cross. That's beholding your God. And you behold your God when you see him as a forerunner, having gone ahead of us, and he's sitting at the right hand of the throne of God, and he forever liveth to make intercession for us. We're beholding him. And then when we hear that he sits at the right hand of the throne of God, and that he forever liveth to make intercession for us, and that he is there now to work in us that which he finished on the cross, which we cannot do, you know, we start thinking like that, then we're beholding our God. And then in beholding him, then you might sing and open your heart up and say, "Now let God arise and let his enemies be scattered." And, you know, when he arises in your presence and he arises in your midst, the enemy is scattered. Then you can sing that. You can say that. "Now let God arise, let his enemies be scattered." And then finally he says, he will speak peace to his people. And what peace means, that he will bring you on the side of the Father. You're not fighting against God. You're not doing your own thing. You're not trying to get your way and come out on the other side without letting God do it. So tonight, let us behold our God. Let God arise where you are. Let him come in that place where you are. And let the enemies be scattered. And as the enemies are scattered, then he will speak peace to us. And we speak right now that peace over the airwaves to every heart, every mind, every soul, every spirit. We're trusting the Lord that you are beholding your God, that you will let him arise where you are, and that your enemies will be scattered, and that then he will speak peace to you. So we welcome you again to the Universal Kingdom Church of the Firstborn. We are believing and breathing that name out over the air, believing that the Lord is establishing himself, a church that he's coming back for without spot or wrinkle. And as our prophet Dean Mitchum sings, it's a new church that's arising in the end of earth. And will you be a part of that church? Or you remember that church that's arising, that it's the Universal Kingdom Church of the Firstborn. It's the church of Jesus Christ. He is the firstborn, and everything that he died for and everything that he was sent for is for this church. And so we're going to let Dean sing for us. There's a new church arising, and he'll ask us to consider the fact, are you a part of that church? We welcome Prophet Dean Mitchum.
Hallelujah. Come on, God is raising up a new church. Are you a part of that church? The saints movement. Come on, hallelujah. Oh, yeah. Hallelujah. The Lord is raising up a brand new breed who will walk and talk like Abraham. Can you hear it?
rubbing in the seat. The building can't contain it, so we're taking it to the street. We're healing the sick and we're raising the dead. We're preaching the gospel, doing all that Jesus said. There's a new church arising that the world has never seen.
Your prophet Dean, we allowed him to sing it all the way through because, you know, the words of songs are so very important to open the atmosphere for what the Lord is wanting to do. When you walk into a place where you want to meet the Lord, oftentimes there's a song that comes up in your spirit, and that it is the prophetic word. Songs are very prophetic, and the Lord will use them for prophetic. And Dean Mitchum is a prophetic psalmist from Christian International, and so when he started singing that song, it's been several years. As a matter of fact, we have been singing, allowing him to sing it for us every Saturday evening at our worship service in the local Church of the Firstborn here in Whitewater for the past 10 or 12 years. And we're not just playing it over and over because we think that they are not other songs. The words are prophesying what is to come. There is a new church arising. And, of course, he wants us to consider what that new church is going to look like. Is it going to rise in you? It's rising in the seats. It's rising in the pulpit. The building can't contain us, so it's going to take us to the street. And we're really prophesying that. Although we're not doing it now, we believe that the Lord is speaking that into our spirit, and words become life, and words come alive when and as we sing it long enough and it gets in our heart, then what's in our heart will take shape. Remember the scriptures from the Bible, and I always refer to this from time to time, in Genesis 1. It's one of the most powerful scriptures in the Bible. And, of course, you know Genesis is the book of beginnings. And I think God opened his way to talk to us about beginnings. And we need to pay more attention to beginnings, because beginnings, sometimes we try to get to the end of something or the middle of something, or we try to enter into something, and we have not entered in by the door. We haven't entered in at the beginning. And I think what I want to say tonight prophetically, the Lord is saying to us, I want you to not miss beginnings. I want you to let this be a new beginning for you. Literally, one of the prophetic words that came forth that the Lord gave me at the beginning of Yom Kippur, and it was the year of Jubilee, and it was, this will be a year of beginnings of beginnings. That means that there will be new beginnings all through the year. It means that something is going to come into your life, and it's going to be a new beginning, and it's going to be one of many beginnings, all right? But you want to recognize it, and so I'm recognizing that as we meet together, almost time we meet together, this is a beginning of beginnings, and we want to seize that moment. We want to make it a defining moment for us, because that is when God defined a purpose for us. And see, and so at our local church of the Firstborn, we sing New Church Arising, and I watch to see what's new tonight. I don't want to see that tomorrow is going to be the same. And in our school of ministry, he came in at our last meeting and said, this is the beginning of beginnings, and we're forgetting everything in the past, and we're leaving everything behind. I think if we start accepting and entering into beginnings, we will not carry the past with us, which becomes like a burden around our neck. And so once you see that this is the beginning of beginnings, then you know that what happened yesterday is over. What you want to deal with today is going to be the beginning of new beginnings. And so let's consider even tonight's meeting here is the beginning of beginnings. And as we consider it beginnings of beginnings, we look first in the book of Genesis, and listen what he says. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. We are here talking about the book of Matthew now, and we are talking about family in a session. The book of Matthew led us there with the begets. But let me just stop right here and look at this beginning, because if I and you can take this beginning of the Bible and make it ours and make it a way of life and make it a desire of our heart to always come back right here and enter into this when God has given us something to do. And I'm going to stay right there for a minute, and I want to share this with you, because I know that our call, the call of the local church of the Firstborn, the call of our school of ministry, is always in a session. I believe it's the kingdom call of everyone coming into the work of the Lord, because it has to be shaped by intercession, by prayer. Most of my books, I'll have a theme. There are three steps and sometimes four. One is when you hear the call of the Lord in your life, you accept that call. Now, that is so key. I'm amazed sometimes when someone will say, I don't think God wants me to do that, or I know God said for me to do that, but I'm not ready for that, or I don't want that. I kept telling God, I don't want that. I'm saying, how awful that you're going to tell God, the God of the universe, who looked beyond your faults and saw something in you, to move you into what he's saying to you. And you're going to say to God, I don't want it. I've even heard people say, I fought with God because I didn't want to obey that call. I want to tell you what the Lord was saying at the very beginning when he gave you that call. He knew that you couldn't do it. And if you thought you could do it, I guarantee you have failed miserably, or you will fail. Because the calling of the Lord and the ministry of the Lord and the work of the Lord is nothing we can do in the natural. And if you can do it in the natural, he will. When I say natural, with your natural abilities or with what you have learned, you will fail sooner or later, because all of God's work is done in the Spirit, by the Spirit, and through the Spirit. And so this is my theme scripture for my life. I would it to be your theme scripture for your life if you're called of God. And here's what it is. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. When he gave you something to do, or he called you to do something, It was already created. It was in his heart. He knew exactly what was in you. He knew exactly what he had to do with you. So if he called you, it is already created, all right? You will not be the one to decide whether or not it's going to be. It's already done. Here's where you step in. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. So it means that he's already created it, but it's without form, and it is without shape. And so if you sit and wait for it to be shaped or for him to tell you the details, it will never be, because it's without form. Here's what happened. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. You see, the Spirit of God, when he gives it to you and you know you can't do it, and most people will not do it, or they'll ignore it, or they'll try not to think about it, or they'll know it's too difficult, or they know it's impossible. So they push that aside, and they step into something they can do. And so the Lord is saying prophetically tonight, let this be the beginning of beginnings. What I said to you to do, all I need you to say is yes. If you accept, and most of my books will say this, there are three steps. Number one, you accept the call to intercession. I really don't care what it is. You may be called to build a hospital. You may be called to build a church. You may be called to establish a ministry. But the first call you must accept is the call to intercession. Now, why the call to intercession? Because it's already formed in God's heart, but now for you, it is without form and void, and darkness is upon the face of it. You don't know what it's going to look like. So then the Spirit of the Lord in you, in prayer, in intercession, will begin to pray about it, begin to talk to God about it. And then the Spirit is moving on it to shape it. And as the Spirit moves upon it to shape it and to bring it into fruition, the first thing, and it's in all my books, I can tell you where to go, page number, because God, most of all of my books are about intercession. One especially that is so much a part of is the Kingdom Fivefold Ministries and the Body of Christ. But because when we start a new beginning for the kingdom, and the church age is still there, but the church age had prepared the people now to step into a kingdom way of life, a kingdom living, kingdom work. So first you accept it. One of my students said to me the other day, I know God was calling me to be a prophet, but that's not what I thought I was. That's not what I wanted to be. So I didn't want to be a prophet, and I just really didn't give any attention to it. But if God called it, it was something you couldn't do. It was something you didn't know. So what the Lord was saying, accept it. But when the acceptance is this, don't just say, yes, Lord, I say amen, I'll do it. You accept the call to intercession. Because the call to intercession means that the Spirit of the Lord, you accept the fact, you say yes to the beginning, that I must accept the fact to be God's intercessor. Because what he's saying to me is without shape, and it's void, and the only way it's going to come into shape is that I have to put it in my heart, and I have to let it stay there, but I'm not just going to let it lie there. I'm going to breathe on it in intercession. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and let me go back and read it from the Bible. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. If everything he called you to do was so clear, and probably, I'll be honest with you, with me and all of us, we also think it's clear, and we step out to do it, and we do a great job of doing it, and the Lord allows us to do a great job. We have conferences about it. We have intercessors meetings. We have gatherings and all. Then all of a sudden, it's not there anymore. Because you see, the Lord, what he really meant it to be, is in the cockles of his heart. And so we have moved out to do it, but we haven't let the Spirit of the Lord move upon it, because as the Spirit moved on it, we're connecting to God's heart. He wants to put it in our heart, what's in His heart, and it's already there. Unfortunately, we don't get the fact that we have to stop and pray and enter into a position with God in prayer. So when we say yes, there's not yes to the ministry. It's yes, I accept the call to the ministry of intercession. This next step, which is my most difficult, but for which I've written probably 75 books about, is then allow the Lord to heal us and deliver us. In order for us to grab a hold of what God has called, and I'll get it, and His heart to touch our heart, that He has to unravel all the old man, even the good things that we learn, even the ugly things that happen to us, even the place where the enemy has taken hold in our lives. We have to allow Him to heal us and to deliver us, because what He's called us to do is in His heart. And we cannot do it unless He comes in and work it through us. And He will not, I think I mentioned this in our book, Adonai, He will not mix Himself with self in any way. He will not mix Himself with anything in us that's not like Him. I don't know why I got on this tonight, because I'm in Matthew 7, and I'm not sure where this fits, but it really is a word the Lord has given me. Listen at it again. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. It wasn't light when He created. It was already created, but it was without form and void, and it was only after the Spirit of the Lord moved on it that it came into being. Intercessors, I'm talking to you tonight. What you need to know is all the work that you do is not going to bring your work into fruition. It is going to be your planting in your heart. What God has said to you is a call to intercession. So number one, you answer the call to intercession. Number two, you allow the Lord to heal you and deliver you. Now, I want to be honest with you. That is not an easy task. That's why every one of my books, you will see drawings, you'll see the heart, you'll see lives, you'll see the bride of Christ for the ministry of intercession has to be stripped, you know, that all the gifts and graces must be put upon the robe of righteousness when that is wrapped on that woman. All the robe, all the ugliness is gone. It is not easy. And the other thing you might want to know, that's why you have to take the position of an intercessor, is that the healing and deliverance is more than just healing from brokenness and healing from bruises. And the deliverance is wonderful. I just wrote a book and I went to look at it tonight. It's a great book. I just love it with all my heart. It's called The Kingdom Deliverance, Kingdom Deliverance, the Ministry of Jehovah Sabaoth and the Deliverer Jesus Christ. And when it talks about that, in addition to the deliverance from the influence of the enemy, but then self must be annihilated. And self, you can't deliver self. Self has to die. And then when self dies, along with self, and you start becoming hid with Christ in God, all the wonderful things that you learn in the world. And it's not that He's going to do away with them. Remember, we came to Matthew, and He said He will gather the wheat in the garner, then He'll burn up the chaff. And so some of the academic knowledge that you learn is wonderful knowledge. I have 2 earned doctorate degrees, and so it's wonderful knowledge. I wouldn't give it up, but it had to be sanctified. It had to be cleansed. It had to be I had to be delivered of all the chaff that went along with it, so that the things that were great could be brought into being for Christ in due time. And that takes time, saints. That's why it's so important that we accept the call to the ministry of intercession. And then the final one, the third one, is then we began to birth it forth. Now, remember, it's in the heart of God. We're trying to get His heart for our heart and our heart for His heart. Of course, as we're working through that, He starts delivering us and He starts healing us and He starts bringing us out of self and all the other things. Then here comes this ministry, this job, this call right there now, and it's lying dormant. Oh, it may be moving along a little bit, and I want to say that, but then you realize it's not what it's supposed to be, and it's lying dormant, and that's when now it is without shape, still where he wants it. But all of a sudden, because you allow the Spirit of the Lord to move upon it, and as he was healing you and delivering you and getting you out of the way, then you allow the Spirit of the Lord to move upon it a little more, and you allow him to show you the picture of it. You allow him to show you the depths of it. You allow him to show you places that he wanted to take it that you couldn't go, but you had to be healed and delivered. You had to let go of something. You had to leave behind people. You had to leave behind things. And all of a sudden, the ministry comes up in the face. And it's just there. Well, now you have to get into the higher level of intercession, and you start calling it forth. It's in, not only is in his heart now, but it's in your heart. You haven't felt abandoned. You haven't felt that you'll never make it. You haven't felt like it might as well give it up and go to something else. It's in your heart now. What was in his heart is now in your heart. And as is in your heart, as he wants it to be, because as the Spirit of the Lord moved on it, he began to shape it so that it'll be in your heart like it is in his heart. Now that it's in your heart like it is in his heart, you begin to birth it forth in prayer and intercession. Because now, why is this so important? And you probably want to ask, what does that do with Matthew, everything? Why is this so important that he had to go through all of that? It takes years sometimes before you get there. Why is it so important that now you've gone through that? Because it has to be in your heart like it is in his heart. See, a lot of time the call is like we've seen someone else, or it's like there's a need for it, or it's like it's another church, like another church that's a little better than the other church because we are split off from the other church because we got something they don't have. It could be all of that. But then all of a sudden, the Spirit of the living God has in your heart what's in his heart. He had to go through first your accepting the call to intercession, not the call to the ministry, but the call to intercession. Then he has to go through the process of delivering you of yourself and your self-motives and self-ideas and self-ways and self-thoughts and all the things that you thought it was all about. And then he comes now, and as the Spirit of the Lord move upon the face of the water, now you can see it clearly as he sees it, and you begin to let the Spirit begin to pray over it. Oh, thank you, Jesus. And then you begin to birth it forth. And then look at the next verse. It's so beautiful. It says, And God said, let there be light, and there was light. It took all of that for the light to come in the earth. It was in his heart. He wanted to put it in your heart, and he wanted you to accept the call to intercession, because once you accept the call and said yes, then you allow him to heal you. You couldn't allow him to heal it unless you accepted it, the call first. And then as he's doing the healing, when the healing is done and the ministry is lying dormant in your face, the call is lying dormant in your face, you begin to put it in your heart, because then he puts his heart, what's in his heart, in your heart. So now that it's in your heart, what's in his heart, that's what he wants to bring forth. He didn't want to bring forth what you brought forth. You brought forth, you didn't bring forth an Isaac. You brought forth Isaac's brother. You see what I'm saying? You didn't bring forth that which came from heaven. You brought forth that which was already in the earth, and you just lift it up and kind of shape it up a little bit. But what's in his heart is what he wants to get in your heart. A particular example is our Church of the Firstborn. In the Bible it says, and very seldom you see it written much in the New Testament, but in Hebrews 12, it says you have come to the church of the firstborn, which is written in heaven. It's there. We could start to work a church together and bring it forth as a church, but the church of the firstborn that's in his heart is in heaven, and he wants to put it in our heart. And really, that's why in January 2014, I started this program to talk about the Church of the Firstborn, because he said, I want it to be a universal church. I want everyone, wherever they are in the world, whatever church that believes in Jesus Christ, I want them to walk in the principles of the Church of the Firstborn, the spirit that the firstborn brought to the earth. And so he wants to put it in our heart, what's in his heart, not what a church looks like on earth, not what another church is doing or what we think is doing, but what's in his heart. And that's why intercession is so important as we begin to birth it forth. We're working with the Universal Kingdom Church of the Firstborn now. The Lord has given us some team leaders that I believe I'm saying to them, our call now is to birth forth the Universal Kingdom Church. And that's just through prayer, not the kind of prayer where we're asking God. And that's another thing about it. And I say, I don't know why I got on this tonight. It's not what I wanted to talk about. Because I'm up at Matthew 7, and I want to get back to that, and I hope I do get a chance to get back to that. But let me go back to, as we come forth now to bring forth, not to teach about it, not to talk about it, not to minister to the people like we're ministering in a church, we must release of the Church of the Firstborn. We must go into travail. We must be like a mother who is in a childbirth. That's what travailing is. That's what birthing the ministry in. And we got it in our heart now. We know what it looks like. We know whether it's a girl or a boy. If we're trying to bring forth, we know whether it's twins. Because we've gotten the heart of God, and our heart is knitted to his heart. And he's given us, what is this church called? The Church of the Firstborn. What is this church called? The Universal Kingdom Church of the Firstborn. It doesn't look like any other church. No two churches look alike, I don't think, on the inside. But what is in the heart of God for it? And he's working to get us to get his heart. In order to get his heart, he has to take out of our heart what we think it ought to look like. Then we have to come in close enough to him for him to remove us out of the way. And self gets off the throne so that he can put in our heart what's in his heart. Once it's in our heart, as it is in his heart, then we can travail. That's the last one, is then we can birth it in. And so what we plan to do and we're working on now, and by the way, each time it goes to another level when he puts a new level in your heart. See, our local church has been here for a while, and this is Universal Kingdom Church. And so what happens at this level, this is not where I want you to be. This is not what it's all about. This is not what's in my heart for it. But I let you bring it here, even travail here, to open the door for this to happen. But now I want to put what's in my heart in your heart. And in order for to put in your heart what's in my heart, I have to take out of your heart what you already have there as a symbol of what the church should be. And you're going to have to travail, and you're going to have to pray, and you're going to have to let the Spirit of the Lord move upon your heart, asking him to show you what's in his heart, to give you what's in his heart, asking him to show you what's in your heart that needs to get out of the way, to remove you from the atmosphere where the enemy will have his heart coming at you when you're trying to get God's heart. And all of this calls the Spirit of the Lord to be moving upon it. And then one day, as you begin to travail like a mother in childbirth, and when a mother's in childbirth, what happened? All of her organs start shifting and moving so this child could come forth. And that's where the pain comes. And we'll go through pain as we begin to press against the enemy and press against the things that's holding the church back and press against people who want to make it what they want it to be and press and just press. Our elder said last night as we were in church that I just feel that everything we get now, we got to press. And thank you, Elder Frieda. You just got to press. We just got to press to get there. But what she was saying is, and I don't think she realized at the time, is that the Lord is ready for us to press past the things that will hinder his church of the firstborn. Press past. When we start pressing and travailing, we start with pressing against things that hinder us. We press ourselves out of the cocoon. And there will be pain there as we push and push against the hands of the enemy and the ways of people and the work of the Satan in the church and how we press. And then one day, the Lord will say, let there be light. And I always say light bursts forth on the earth. And when God says, let there be light, then that's when we go back to Matthew, and he said, we are like a light on a hill. We're like a candle on a hill. And no man can put us under a bucket and hide us. And when it bursts forth, you can't shut the light off. It's God's light on what he had in his heart. So I'm saying to everyone tonight, whether or not it's a church of the firstborn like we're pressing, whether it's not God has given you a call, let this be the beginning of beginnings. In the beginning of beginnings, all things are passed away. All things become new at that beginning. You don't bring forth what you know. You bring forth what the Lord, that's why you got to press pass and travail to get yourself in position to walk it out with God, because it's already in his heart, and you want his heart to be your heart. You want your heart to be his heart. And you got to keep pressing against the old and all the things you know and all the things you want and all the things people are saying, all the things that people are doing, all the way they do. You're pressing into a place with God that he will say, let there be light, and light will burst forth on the earth. Now, let me tell you something else that has happened as you began to open up for this new place. As you began to allow him to heal you and deliver you, he has had to put an axe to the root of the tree, which was self. Now, self does not die easily. And self has all kinds of terrains to hide in. That's why it was so important for you to make a covenant up front that I accept the ministry of intercession. Even if he gave you a tremendous work to do, you're saying, I'm accepting the call is a ministry of intercession to birth that forth. I was going to talk about eternal purposes tonight and eternal destiny. Because what he's calling us to do is to prepare for eternal purposes that he has for bringing us into the earth and to look at our eternal destiny. So that's why I kept saying he's like boots on the ground in Matthew, because he's saying, I've come now. I've come down from the portals of heaven, and I'm in your face, and I'm looking at you. And what's in my heart, I want it in your heart. But your heart is so full of yourself, so full of things, so full of wisdom, so full of knowledge, so full of who you are, till first I have to heal the brokenness, because there's some places you're hiding in, things that happened to you as a child, things that you're still waiting for the blessings of a parent who did not, who knew. Oh, I got to get all of that out the way. You're still hiding. You're still saying, I'm afraid. You're still saying, I'm afraid to step out too far. You still don't know who I am. So I've got to unravel what's in you. And then I got to deal. I got to put an axe to the root of the tree. Then I got to bring the Holy Ghost in and let him, and I'm going to gather all of you, what you have that I can use in a garner. And I'm going to let the Holy Ghost burn up the chaff. So as you're doing all of that, the Spirit of the Lord is moving to shape what he's bringing you forth. And then because you've allowed the Spirit to come in, come on, saints, this is something you can't do in your own self. You have to say yes to the Lord. I accept the call. So when you accept the call, I always mention a book there's a book that's been somewhat of a sleeper for us in our bookstore, and it's a book from one of our rooms in the house called The Mizpah Covenant. And the one thing The Mizpah Covenant did that not any other book had done that I'd written, Calvary did the same thing, you have to make a decision once and for all to say yes to the Lord to something. And then as you say yes, I wrote in that book, and I talked about it because God gave it to me, how to die, how to let him heal you and deliver you. He will come to you, and he'll ask you one thing. It will be so simple that you can do it easily. If you do it immediately, he'll bless you. And then he may come the next day and ask you another thing. One thing we wait for, one would tell us all these huge, difficult things. You know, it'd be so simple. And you will do that, and he'll bless you. We call it the cross life. You're putting on the cross everything he tells you. I want you to get up 5 minutes earlier tomorrow morning. You get up 6 o'clock. Would you get up 5 minutes to 6 tomorrow morning? Set your clock for 5 minutes to 6, and as soon as the clock rings, you jump out of bed. Well, the clock rings. Oh, well, I'll do it tomorrow morning or maybe next week. No, immediately you obey. As soon as you obey, he blesses you. And he keeps doing that until pretty soon he knows now that you obey, so he may not call you to do something. And you run to him and say, Lord, what can I do today? Because now I want to be blessed. Now you've stepped into the cross. You've been in the cross life. Now you got a cross mentality. And he can unravel that, because when he's saying do this, he's healing you. He may say, would you forgive Susan today? Well, you know, yesterday he called you to forgive somebody else, and you didn't. He just blessed you so much, so you quickly forgive Susan. And he says, now I want you not to think of this one this way. And all of this is healing and deliverance, you see. And he brings you to a place where he said, let there be light. And light burst forth. And when the light burst forth, you cannot hide it. When the first light burst forth, what did he do? He started working. See, then you start working the ministry, the calling, after you birthed it in. When the light came forth and he said, let there be light, the first thing he did, he took the greater light and he tossed it up and it became the sun. He took the lesser light and he caused it and it became the moon and the stars. Then he said, now that I got a sun and I got a moon and stars, I can do something. As he took the dew then and brought it forth to do something. Then he gathered some of the water and the earth from the earth, and he made him a river. See, he had something to work with. That's what he wants of us when he calls us. That's why we must say yes to the ministry of intercession. So tonight I'm saying this is the beginning of beginnings, and the Lord is calling us now to take that and put it in our heart, as this is the way now. We're going to walk it out the rest of our life with him. So let me get back to the book of Matthew. I think that was part of the book of Matthew. We were in chapter 7. And I was thinking, I hope you're walking through Matthew with me. I was thinking that I keep repeating things from Matthew. I keep going back, looking at things and saying something that I've already said something about. And I hope you to understand, for me, you may be sharper than I am in the spirit. You may be able to do this. But I am trying to live these words, not just talk about them. I'm not here to teach you. I'm here to open up to say, Jesus Christ is calling us now. He's boots on the ground, and he's telling us, this is what I want. This is the way I want you to do. So we looked at chapter 7 and looked at the first verses, and he began to talk about forgive. He began to say, when you stand praying, judge not. He talked about judgment. He said, judge not, because with what judgment you judge, it's going to come back to you. So I had to, and I want you to do it, I hope you did it, walk through difficult times in the past weeks, trying to figure out, how do I avoid judging this person, until I got to the place where God said, you have to understand, and I need to share this with you. There's a difference between judgment with a critical behind it than seeing a fact of what someone did wrong, or how someone mistreated you. Now, because it's where your heart is as to whether you judge that, as saying, when you judge it, you have condemned the person and you have punished the person. You have thought of them as one that should not have any more blessing. You really don't realize you think that. So that's judgment. But when you see a fact as what a person is doing, I used to always ask God, and it has helped me somewhat, is why did that person do that? That's my first position. And I want to stay there until God showed me why that person. And the thing about it, when God shows you why a person does something, it makes it so sweet behind it that he accepts it. And when he accepts it, he puts an acceptance in your heart, not that the person was right, not that he judged the person, was going to condemn the person. That's not your business. But it made you see that person as he saw that person. And God does not see. He said, I didn't come to judge. And he puts that in your heart. I'll give you an example. I remember one lady did something so terrible to me. I mean, it was terrible. And we were in the ministry together. We were working very closely together, and I was working hard. And as a matter of fact, I'd been out of town in her place and had spent so much time and money getting there and working with her. And what she did, I just couldn't believe this person would do this. And so I've formed a habit. I'm not good. I'm not great. Please don't get me wrong. I'd formed the habit, though, when I don't understand, when I see something like that, I put it on the burner, I call it. I put it aside, and I wait until God can give me time to work through it. So the first thing that happened, and usually there's a blessing when you do that. The first thing that happened, what she did would have shut my work down, shut what I came there for, would have caused harm to the people, would have really, a whole year's work would have been lost. And so I was driving back to the place I was staying, and I said, now, I don't know how I'm going to correct this. I don't know how I'm going to keep this, but I just can't deal with this. I'm just going to go to this place where I was staying, and I'm going to let it be. And I really just put it on the burner, I call it, and got into the place where I was staying. And the lady where I was there, she met me at the door, and we talked, and I told her what happened. And immediately, she had a solution to the problem. We solved it right there. I didn't lose all the years that I'd been there. I didn't lose the money. Everything was brought into fruition that I had been gone to that state to do. And I left it there because everything was fine. I forgot about what the lady did to me. I'm driving home, which was a 7 or 8 hour drive, and the Lord came in the car just like a gentleman. And he said, you know why she did that? And I said, Lord, I forgot it. Why did she do it? And he began to explain so gently why she did it. It wasn't that she was right, but he told me why. He told me her purposes was to make herself come up to a certain level. She didn't know how to handle. She didn't know how to handle what we were doing. He just explained it. And when he finished explaining it, I've never in my life had that thought in my heart again. I mentioned that simply because there are principles that God has, which are kingdom principles. But the other thing about it is you have to choose how to walk around what God has given you. I believe when Jesus came in Matthew and he became boots on the ground, every chapter that we've read, there's something in there that we have to appropriate for ourselves. I think the greatest thing is chapter 7, two great principles he gave us there. And one is so key about judgment. Now, I will say this about judgment. It's not easy not to judge. But you have to get a place in your heart where that is conquered. And the only thing I did with mine all those years is I called myself, I adopted the word, I'll put it on the back burner until God tells me why. And when he says why, even though it may be terrible, once I was driving home and I was concerned about something someone did, and I would ask God, Lord, why did he said this to me. He said it was human error. It was not a spiritual judgment that this person did. It's human error. Then he said later, and he said, you make many human errors yourself, so leave it there. I never thought of it again. So you're going to be, I think what the Lord wants us to do is prepare ourselves that in the kingdom, it will become easy for us to judge. We have the Holy Ghost. We see people as they are. We see purposes as they are, the purpose that people do things behind what they know. We often see what they don't see. And if your spirit has not been cleansed of judgment, and usually the judgment in our spirits go way back to childhood. We may be judging our parents or judging something that happened to us as a child. And if we never got that cleaned up, that's why the second level for accepting the call is allow the Lord to heal and deliver, you see. Because most people who are judgmental, without realizing it, have severe judgment against a parent. They've never resolved that. They're still hurting, and they wouldn't allow the hurt to come because, you see, what happens with hurt and brokenness is when you put judgment or criticism or anger or bitterness or resentment, it hides the pain. And so it makes you able to handle it. And flesh rises up, and flesh don't need to be loved. And so when that happens, it puts like a scab over the pain. I always told people behind every hurt, there's a sin. And the sin is your sin. Because when someone hurts you and you hold it, are you angry? Are you judgment? That's a sin. That's why chapter 7 said, judge not, that you be not judged. With whatever judgment you mete out, it's coming back to you. It didn't say judge not if people don't judge if people mistreat you. He said there's no disclaimer on it. You judge not. With whatever judgment you judge, it's going to come back to you. Why would you pull the mote out of someone else's eye when you got more? He's very clear. And I believe as we walk through Matthew, and I'm asking you to walk through with me, please. I believe that these principles, and I call them spiritual principles, and I probably should give them another name. God is giving us to, when you settle it, this will be, as our dear Pastor Lee always say, a life sentence. And she says something else all the time, it's, and you without excuse. And so what he's saying, this is a new beginning. I want you, I'll forgive you for all the judgment of the past. I'll forgive you for the things that before we got here. I'll forgive you. I'll leave that in the past. If this is the beginning of beginnings, you're going to choose that you're going to judge not. And if you choose that, then I will come in. And I will help you to get established in that. I won't tell you, I won't give you things that the enemy will cause you, won't cause you to judge. There will be so many things coming at you that you will be needing to judge it, you think. But if you choose that this is the beginning of beginnings, and at this chapter 7, when I say judge not, this is going to be a life sentence for you. And whenever something comes into your life that you see to judge it, then put it on the back burner until the Lord tell you why the person does that. He might even tell you that's as far that person can go. You stop it. He might even show you your fault. But you're choosing that we're walking into a new place with God, and we're starting with judgment, and we're cutting that out of our lives. The next thing, and I guess I finally come to review, is we look at the other part of chapter 7, which says, ask and you shall be, it shall be given, seek and you'll find, knock and the door shall be open. We talked about that at length on last week. And I believe it was a good thing that we did. I think when we look at the judgment and we look at the fact that we give not that which is holy unto the dogs, lest they trample over us. Then as we review the asking, ask and it shall be given, seek and you shall find, knock and the door will be open. And we talked about that on last week, where you will just not just ask and sit back and wait for him to shower it on you, but you ask him for it, hallelujah, and believe that he's given it to you. Because the Bible said, ask and it shall be given. Now the next thing the Bible says, don't stop with just asking, seek and you will find. So when you come to him, you have to seek him. You ask, oh, yes, I'm out here in the patio, and I'm asking God to do this for me. And he said, I'll give it to you. Now you got to seek my face because I want you to come in close so that I can give it to you from my hand and from my heart to your heart. So you got to keep seeking me. And he said in one place in the Bible, seek the Lord while he may be found. So you begin to seek him with all your heart. And you begin to seek him. And as you seek him, you got to press past some things, because you got to press past things he will not let flesh stand in his presence. You got to press past things that hadn't been removed. So this is part of allowing him to heal and deliver. So when you press past and you get to seek and see his face, see his face. And when you see his face, you'll see yourself. That's what happened when Isaiah said, when he saw God high and lifted up. And when he saw him high and lifted up, then he saw that he was a man of unclean lips, and he lived amidst a people of unclean lips. And that's why he wants us to seek him. He wants us to keep seeking till we get close enough, until we see ourselves in his face. And when we see ourselves as Isaiah did and saw everything around him, then God can give us the light on the ministry that he wants us. And that's when he says, knock and the door will be open. That's the birthing it in. That's the calling it forth. Knock. Keep on knocking till it come forth, until first of all the light shines on it and you can see it and it makes sense. Because if you had seen the fullness without accepting the call to intercession, without allowing him to heal and deliver, without coming to the place where his heart and your heart would be in agreement for what this ministry is, not what you read about, not what someone else is doing, not what you think it is, but what's in his heart will be so different from what you've ever seen before. When the two hearts meet, hallelujah, and you begin to breathe on it, and the Spirit of the Lord move on it, and then God said, let there be light, and light bursts forth on the earth, then you can start working it out and working through and working over and keeping from one level to the next. And so I believe that as we look at 7, and as we look at this as a new beginning, it's the last chapter, the Beatitudes. I think what the Lord is saying, now I'm getting ready to put you into work. Chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. Chapter 1 was the call course. Number 2, how to protect the call. And number 3, when Jesus came, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. And number 4, when he shows up and he began to heal everybody. And number 5, he began to teach the New Testament, Old Testament coming together in all the things that God had told his Israelites in the wilderness. He brought it all in. And then number 6, he began to tell us how to keep ourselves, how to pray, how to fast, how to give, all those things. Then in number 7, he starts dealing with our heart and our movements. And we're going to talk about the straight gate he's calling us to next time. And so now we will meet again on Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. The New Testament Church, it is the Universal Kingdom Church of the Firstborn. We're going to meet, and as we meet in that place, oh, can you imagine meeting, seeing his face? Can you imagine seeing his face? But let us do this tonight. I don't know what your past is. I don't know what has happened to you in the past. I've gone through some grueling things. I mean, some grueling experiences, even in the recent past. I've had some experience that if I had not grown a little bit in the Spirit, it would have knocked me off of my feet. I would have probably been crying, take me home out of this. I don't know what yours is. I don't know where you have been to a place where you have even sought the Lord and he didn't answer, and you wonder why he's mistreating you and he's treating you. I want to say that he brought you to a new beginning, and this is new beginning. One of the new beginnings for me, and I want it to be for you, I will begin even tonight to accept where I am in this walk with God. It is not where I want to be. it is not where I would think that it would be something that I would really feel that I've done what I'm supposed to do and am doing it. You may be going through something that a physical challenge, or it may be a financial problem, and you're saying to yourself, how can you start a new beginning? I want us to start a new beginning in our hearts today. What I'm saying to the Lord, I want you to say to where I am, this is a new beginning for me, and I'm going to serve you with my heart. You see, it might very well be that I thought serving him was serving him with the masses and the crowds of people and all of that. But there's a deeper service that maybe he had to pull me off the street, off the scene, so that I can serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness all the days of our lives. I want you to ask God, how do you start this new beginning? See, my thought and your thought of starting a new beginning may be that you're starting a new work and you're really finally getting this church going and you're getting this going and you people are coming. It may be none of that. But the God that you serve, if you can knit your heart to his heart and his heart to your heart, and you, the two of you, like me and him, can have a heart relationship, that what's in his heart, he'll put it in your heart. So I might say, Lord, you called me to build this wonderful church, and it's not coming forth. You called me to raise up these people. It's not coming forth. But he has something in his heart that's just for me. It has nothing to do with the people, because when he called me and when he called you, it was for him and not for the people. And it may very well be, and I hope you will accept this because I have, it is not that you didn't do it right, or it's not that the enemy kept you from doing it. I'm saying this new beginning, we're going to put our lives in God's hand. We are where he wants us to be. We are without that which he wants us to be without. We are in the midst of the work that he's called us to do. It's in his heart still. And if he lifts us up and put us back in it, we will have our heart, maybe some of his heart, but he wants to give us his heart. And so tonight is a defining moment where God wants to define his purposes, his eternal purpose for each of us. It's the beginning of beginnings that we're going to begin tonight to enter into the beginning of our eternal purpose, and that we're going to tonight not look back, not look to the right or left, not look back, but look ahead, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Listen, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, he despised the shame, he is now sitting at the right hand of the throne of God. He forever liveth to make intercession for us. So we're going to let our intercession knit with his intercession. He forever liveth to make intercession for us. So he's up there interceding. Let us accept the call to intercession so that whatever he's put in our heart, you might say, should I repent? Yes, repent if you want to. But when he said this is a new beginning, it's a new beginning. And then we move with him rather than looking back to see what we haven't done. Forgive us, oh God, for the look back and the look around. Lord, we can look at our condition. We can look at what's going wrong. We can look at the people. We can look at all of that. But we say, merciful Father, forgive us, because we are where we are. Because this is where you are. This is where you wanted us to be. Now, Lord, we accept your call to intercession, and we also accept the fact that we don't even know how to intercede. So since we have accepted the call to intercession, it means that we have accepted the call to what you have in your heart for us. Now we have to start with you to let you teach us and instruct us what's in your heart, because if we take the intercession and start moving out in it and think we know, we still don't have your heart. So we're opening up our heart to receive your heart for what you have in your heart for us to start. And then as we open our hearts, then we open ourselves to allow you to heal us inwardly and outwardly and deliver us from self. And then, Lord, that your heart can become our heart, and the Spirit of the Lord began to move upon that which you put in our heart. You got it in your heart, and you brought us close enough that you can put it in our heart, but it's still without form and void, and the Spirit of the Lord needs to move on it, and we want to allow the Spirit to move on it so that soon and very soon you can say and will say, let there be light, and the light will burst forth on the earth. So we thank you because you're God. You're above every other God in the heavens and in the earth. And we honor you and we bless you, Lord. Every listener tonight, I want you to open up this message to them in a special way that they will step in their new beginnings to fulfill their eternal purpose that you have for them. And we'll talk about it next Wednesday night. Lord, may the Lord bless all of you that are listening tonight, and we thank you for listening, and those that will listen to us from archives, we pray that there will be a great anointing upon this message, that it will become your message, it will come to your heart, that it's not just words going into your ear, it'll take you past where you know, where you understand, and the Lord will begin to speak to you and minister you for your new beginning and start moving you with it. We'll be back with you on Wednesday night at 7 o'clock Central Standard Time, and we will spend, we will talk some more. We're still in 7 because I wanted to prepare us for where we're going Wednesday night. It says, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in. So he had to bring us to this place to prepare us for that, because we would not enter in straight gate, in a narrow gate, unless we had accepted the call to intercession. And in that acceptance of it, then allow him to heal us and deliver us, and then to begin to get ready to birth in what he's calling us. May the Lord bless you tonight, and I thank you again for listening, and we'll be back with you again on Wednesday evening, same time, 7 o'clock Central Standard Time. This is Pernell Hewing from the Universal Kingdom Church of the Firstborn in Whitewater, Wisconsin. Any of you that are interested in contacting us or wanting to know anything about us, you can call us at 262-473-7472. That's our office there. And then if you want to send us an email, you can send us an email at phewing@yahoo.com. That's two H's, phewing@yahoo.com. And I'll try to get back to you. I had a call last week that I haven't been able to return because I was out of the office. But we pray that you will be patient with me. If you do call or send me an email, I'll try my best to get back to you. Pernell Hewing coming to you from Whitewater, Wisconsin, Universal Kingdom Church is Firstborn. Be back with you next Wednesday night, this Wednesday night, same time, it's 7 o'clock Central Standard Time. May the Lord bless you tonight, and I say good night.